Hi, this is Chuck Palahniuk. I'm the author of Fight Club and Choke, and my new novel, Snuff, will be published this May by Doubleday. Today, I want to introduce my fans to another Doubleday author, Donald Ray Pollock, author of Knock 'em Stiff. People should read Knock 'em Stiff because it's my favorite kind of fiction. It's very much like Pugilist at Rest by Tom Jones or Ice at the Bottom of the World by Mark Richard. It's one of the best collections of short stories that I have ever read, at least as good as Jesus' Son by Dennis Johnson, and it will not be a waste of anyone's time. So do you see your work as a sort of Midwestern Gothic?
Yeah, I guess you could say that. I think somebody called it Southern Ohio Gothic the other day. So, and I've always been interested in, you know, sort of Gothic fiction. Well, you know, people like Flannery O'Connor and maybe Barry Hanna, you know, to a certain extent. So I guess that's been an influence there, yeah.
It reminded me of Flannery O'Connor, but it had more of an immediacy that I liked even better. That reminded me of Dennis Johnson a lot.
Yeah, and Jesus' Son is, you know, it's one of my favorite short story collections. But, you know, I think when I was starting out, I used Hemingway as a model quite a bit, you know, at least his short stories, not so much his novels. But, and I think maybe I got that, you know, we're trying to get that sort of immediacy that he had, you know, in his writing. But I don't know, you know, how close I came to getting it right, but it seems like it's working anyway.
Is Tobias Wolff an influence on you?
Tobias Wolff. Some of his stories, especially there's a story called Bullet in the Brain.
Yeah, which, we all love that one.
Yeah, that story is just so amazing, and I never have really figured out how he did that.
Any story about a book critic getting shot in the brain is a good story. I just cannot go wrong with that formula.
Yeah, that's a good one. You know, one of the things that people are saying about my book is that there are so many characters who seem to want to leave, you know, the Southern Ohio or whatever. But I also, you know, I noticed that in a lot of your stuff, you know, that these people, some of the characters feel, I guess, trapped. And from what I can gather, you grew up in the Northwest, right?
Right, in a kind of a very rural, small farming town with a paper mill.
Yeah, and you're still living there, at least part of the time. So I was wondering, you know, did you ever want to live anywhere else?
In a way, I think maybe like your characters, I have a kind of unconscious fatalism that keeps telling me that even if I move to Barcelona or if I move to Hong Kong, there would still be the very limited single wide trailer park me, and that that I cannot escape my own sort of limitations,
yeah,
regardless of whatever setting I place myself within.
Yeah, I can identify with that. And I guess, you know, for me, I've always, you know, and I've traveled, you know, a little bit, not a lot, but I've discovered that, you know, I just feel more comfortable here in Southern Ohio than I do anywhere else. And, you know, that's, I don't know, maybe that might be, you know, some people might say that's, well, you don't want to take a risk or whatever, but I just feel like, you know, this is home for me. But I do know that when I was growing up, you know, in Knock 'em Stiff, I always wanted to leave. You know, I always had that feeling that I wanted to get out of that place. And then I ended up, you know, now I live like 13 miles away. So.
Now, when you see these sort of mythologized small-town narratives like Mayberry RFD or the Waltons, these very sort of glossy versions of small-town life, how do you feel about those?
Well, you know, they're sort of, I guess, romanticized a bit, at least from my experience. I mean, maybe there is a town like Mayberry RFD out there, but I don't think it's in Southern Ohio anyway.
You know, if you transpose crystal meth onto Mayberry RFD, it starts to look more like the real world. But
yeah, right.
Scary.
That would definitely change things.
What I really loved about your work, about the, you know, so many of the stories you know, Blessed was one of my favorite stories. And there's another one, I Start Over, is that the title?
Mm-hmm.
What I really loved is that you have this ongoing, very physical sense of the events and of the narrator, whether it's sex or, in a lot of cases, drugs or violence, that there is a real physical sense in the stories that is even better than movies would be. And that's just something I could not get enough of, that I just really loved about these stories. And I'm wondering, for yourself, do you have any idea where, you know, this really strong physical sense comes from?
Well, I think for me, I mean, as far as maybe the violence in the stories, for example, you know, I've thought about that, and the only thing that I can come up with is that, you know, Knock'em Stiff was a pretty rough place when I was a kid. When I was a young boy, I was small and skinny, and I wore glasses, and I guess I always felt weak. And, you know, then there was a, you know, quite a bit of, you know, people fighting, and, you know, there were a few stabbings and stuff like that. And I don't know if it was because I felt a little inferior or whatever, but I always paid so much attention to that stuff. Maybe out of fear, I don't know. I don't know what it was. But, and then later on, you know, when I tried to write, or when I was trying to start to write, I guess maybe that came through, you know, that always paying attention to what was going on.
The presence of drugs, too, is an ongoing theme in a lot of the stories. Is that autobiographical?
Well, yeah, a lot of that is autobiographical. I mean, you know, I huffed Bactine when I was a kid. And
Bactine?
Yeah.
Yuck, okay.
Yeah, and it was really terrible, and I wouldn't advise anybody to try that stuff. But, you know, there were, you know, even though we lived in the sticks, you know, we're talking, you know, by the time I was 14, 15, 16 years old, you know, with the late 60s, and there were a lot of drugs. You know, there were, you know, Vietnam vets and, you know, a few hippies living in the hills there and stuff like that. So, and then later on, you know, I just, you know, when I went to the paper mill and started working there, for example, there were a lot of people doing dope. And, you know, and I liked it. A lot of that stuff in the book sort of veers toward the autobiographical as far as knowing what the experience was like.
Have you always written, or what got you started writing?
Actually, I mean, I guess in the back of my mind, probably all my life, I thought that, you know, writing would be a really nice gig, you know, or a way to get by in the world. But I never had the discipline or the, you know, determination or anything to ever try. And then when I was about 45, which I'm 53 now, I just turned 53, but when I was about 45, I realized that if I was ever going to try, you know, or discover, you know, could I write or not, I was going to have to start, or it was going to be too late. So, you know, I just told my wife that I was going to spend a couple hours a day, at least in the beginning, that's what I told her, a couple hours a day, and give it 5 years and see if I could do it. Now, at the end of that 5 years, I had published maybe 4 stories, and I'd gotten accepted to the MFA program at Ohio State. So and I just kept on with it.
Is that your only training as a writer?
Yeah, well, now I'd gotten a bachelor's degree in English from Ohio University when I was in my late 30s. Yeah, but I never took any writing workshops or anything like that. I think I was afraid to. So, yeah, it was pretty much, once I started on my own, which, you know, at the beginning, really my training was I typed a lot of other people's stories out on a typewriter. And tried to learn a little bit, you know, that way.
Oh, so you actually sort of copied them?
Yeah.
By keyboarding?
Absolutely. Copied them word for word, you know. And then after about a year or so, I thought I needed, you know, a little more advice. So I took a correspondence course from a professor at Ohio University. And it was like, you know, it was an undergrad fiction writing course, and there were like 10 lessons. And but it actually turned out pretty good because the story back team that's in the book came out of that experience. So, and yeah, that was my only training. But when I got to grad school, you know, I'd never been in a writing workshop before, so that was kind of strange. But it was a good experience too.
Now, in the workshop, were you, forgive me for this, were you the oldest student?
Actually, I wasn't the oldest student.
Okay.
That really surprised me. One thing that I wanted to ask you, Chuck, is that I read somewhere, heard somewhere that you read Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer a few times while you were working on Rant. And I've just read a review copy of Snuff here in the last couple weeks, and I was just wondering if you, were there any books or particular writers that you were reading for inspiration while you were writing Snuff?
You know, for Snuff, I got to legally watch an enormous amount of pornography and write it off on my taxes. That's the best kind of research there is.
I'll have to remember that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess Snuff is coming out, you know, around the middle of May, and I was just wondering, are you working on something new now, or?
Oh, always. In fact, I've got the first draft of a new book called Pygmy, which I just turned in. And so my goal is to have Pygmy ready for 2009. How about yourself? What are you working on?
Well, I'm working on a novel about it's sort of a combination serial killer coming-of-age story. And what I mean by that is the killer is returning to southern Ohio, and then the young boy in the novel wants to leave southern Ohio. And so I'm sort of like a trying to fit those two together.
Well, you need to be writing more.
Well,
I'd like
you know,
to do a book a year or, you know, every 18 months.
18 months, maybe. Once a year. It takes me a while. And I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm, you know, getting a little age on me or whatever, but we'll see.
Stay tuned for more on Snuff and the movie version of Choke, starring Sam Rockwell, Angelica Houston, and Kelly MacDonald.